Welcome to Stories in the Valley. I am your host, Charles Kiernan. One of the goals of the Lehigh Valley Storytelling Guild is to inform the public and teachers on the use of story in education. To that end, we host the Pennsylvania Youth Storytelling Showcase, an annual competition of young storytellers. This competition will be held at the Northampton Community College on April 26 in 2014. Students who compete may also enter into the pool of candidates for the National Youth Storytelling Showcase, hosted by the Tim Panagos Storytelling Conference in Orem, Utah, in March of 2015. These are all wonderful experiences for students and their families to get involved with the art of storytelling. One of the longtime promoters of youth storytelling in the Valley is Karen Marr. Karen mentored both myself and my daughter when we first stuck our toes in the waters of storytelling. Though now retired, she served as the youth services librarian at the Parkland Community Library for many years. Out of the Parkland Library, she ran the Storytellers Circle, an intergenerational storytelling club, that is, parents and their children telling stories, and later the Black Rose Storytelling Troupe, made up of teen tellers. Both Karen and I are involved with the Pennsylvania Youth Storytelling Showcase that I just mentioned. I will be talking more about that event as we get closer to April. I have for you a story told by Karen Marr called White Wave, followed by a story from my daughter Emily, who Karen coached, and won her division at the National Youth Storytelling Showcase back in 2003. Her story, The Frog Garden, is her own creation. We will start with Karen Marr.
I was going to tell the story, and I will tell the story, White Wave. And the version that I'm going to tell is based on the picture book by Diane Wolkstein. Now, Diane Wolkstein, she was the storyteller for the city of New York, and she told stories in Central Park. And this is White Wave. Long ago in the south of China, there lived a young farmer. He was all alone. His parents had died. He was too poor to get married, and he was too shy to look at anybody else in the village. So every day he trudged to his field and worked all day, and every night he trudged home. And so it went. But one day, as he came home in the moonlight, he saw a small white stone shimmering on the path. So he scooped it up, and he discovered two amazing things. Number one, it wasn't a stone at all. It was a snail shell, a moon snail. Number two, it wasn't white at all. It was all the colors of the rainbow. And then as he looked at it closely, he saw another amazing thing. The snail was still inside, and it was alive. And for some reason, this lightened his heart. He took it home, and he put it in an earthenware jar with some wet stones, and he gave it a leaf or two from the bush outside his door. Then he made his supper and ate and went to bed. The next morning, he got another leaf or two and put it next to the snail, and he went off to work. But when he got home, his supper was waiting for him. It was hot, and it was savory rice with a little salted fish. But there wasn't anybody in his hut. "Thank you," he called, and he looked around, but no one was there. He left the door open while he ate in case whoever made his supper would come back. But no one showed up. And so it went. Every morning he fed his snail, and every night, his supper was waiting for him. Only as the weeks went on, he noticed other things. The house was cleaned. His clothes were mended. There was always a flower next to his supper. His heart grew light. Instead of trudging, he strode. Instead of mumbling. He spoke. He smiled at people. And one morning he had a plan. He left just a little early, and he snuck around to the back of the hut, and he looked in the window. The shell started glowing, and out of the shell reached a small hand, and then another small hand, and then the most beautiful woman he had ever seen stepped out of the snail shell. He knew at once that she was a goddess, and he also knew he should never, ever, ever touch her or even try to. His heart sang. A goddess was in his house every day, cleaning for him, cooking for him. Oh, he was the happiest man. He went and he worked. He came home singing. And every couple of days, he would look in that window and just watch as that goddess took care of him. One morning, he got the uncontrollable urge to run his fingers through her long black hair. And before you knew it, he had burst in through the door, and she said, "Stop! Step away." And he did. She looked at him sadly, and she said, "I must go, because you have forgotten what you once knew." His heart broke. She said, "Can you count?" He nodded, "Yes." She said, "If you will show me how you count, I will leave you a gift." And so he said, "One." "My name is White Wave," she said. "I am a moon goddess." "Two. I will leave you one small gift. Here. Here is my shell. If ever you are in need, hold this shell and call my name, White Wave." She was gone. He was devastated. He stopped working. All he could think of was how to bring her back. How to bring her back. So he gathered all the white stones he could, and he started to build a temple on the hill behind his house. He stopped working in the fields. The weeds overtook his field. His harvest was meager. There was hardly anything at all. He ate his harvest. He ate all of his supplies. Soon he was just rummaging on dried berries left on the bushes and weeds. He was weak with hunger. And one morning, he stumbled off of his mat and he fell to the floor. And the shell that he kept always in his jacket fell in front of him. And he remembered what she said. He lifted it in his hand and he said, "White Wave, help me." And rice, white, gleaming, shimmering rice, poured from that shell and filled his floor. He was saved. He ate and he went back to work, and he never called on her again. Soon he met someone and they married. He had children, but he built that white little shrine to White Wave. Now it was a shrine of gratitude, not a shrine of need. And he told this story to his children, and they told it to their children, and to their children too. And soon they moved away from that part of South China, and the temple, the little shrine, fell apart. There's nobody from that family left. The shrine isn't left. All that is left is this story. And when you think about it, when we are gone, all that will be left of us is our story too. And that was the story White Wave, based on the picture book by Diane Wolkstein. Thank you.
Once there was a garden, with a little pond in the middle, and a wall around the outside. Now, some gardens grow flowers, and some gardens grow vegetables, and this garden grew frogs. Green frogs, red frogs, brown frogs, and, just for variety, a few toads. every spring, a little stalk would pop up out of the ground, and attached to it would be hundreds and thousands of tiny little tadpoles. And as the year got older, so would the frogs, until finally they were old enough to step out onto a wind and be carried off to another part of the garden, where they'd plant themselves. And this worked quite well for quite some time, until one day a great wind came sweeping through the garden, picked up one tiny little frog, and carried him outside the garden gates. And there he stood, staring up, not knowing what to do, and with no way to get back in. And he decided he would need to go find himself a new garden. So he went hopping off through the woods, through the town, and to the very edge of town, where he found himself a perfect little patch, and planted himself right there, next to the zinnias. However, this garden belonged to Miss Barbara Pepper. Now, Miss Barbara Pepper is a very correct sort of woman, a very proper sort of woman, but not a very nice sort of woman. She doesn't have any children. She doesn't like children. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't like husbands. In fact, the only thing she does like are her zinnias, and in the wintertime when they're not blooming, she doesn't like anything. Next spring, below the ground, the little frog began to shake his shoulders, and up popped a tiny little stalk, and attached to the head of it, hundreds and thousands of tiny little tadpoles. The zinnias were very surprised, leaned over and said, "What are you?" "I'm a frog plant," said the frog plant. "I'm a zinnia," said the zinnia. "But, frog plant, I don't think you're very safe here. This garden belongs to Ms. Barbara Pepper, and I don't think she likes frog plants." "Oh, no," said the frog plant. "Oh, yes," said the zinnia. But then she looked at all the other zinnias there and said, "Lean over, lean over." And one by one all the zinnias leaned themselves down so they covered the frog plant beneath them. And in this way he was kept safe as those little tadpoles grew to little tiny frogs. However, Ms. Barbara Pepper keeps a very proper garden, and very proper gardens need weeding. So out she came one day with her gardening glove and her gardening pail, knelt down, and parted her zinnias. "Oh, how horrible, how horrible," she said. "There's a frog plant in my garden." Well, she made such a racket that all the neighbors came running. They said, "Barbara, what's the matter?" And she said, "Oh, it's horrible. There's a frog plant in the garden." The neighbors looked from one to the other. They said, What's a frog plant? Have you ever heard of a frog plant? Do frogs even grow on plants?" Everyone, that is, except little Edward. Now, little Edward was very fond of frogs and very fond of plants and was happy to hear they'd been combined. So when no one was watching him, he snuck off to the garden, knelt down, and parted the zinnias. And there it was, right in front of him, so close that he could lean in and look it right in the eyes. But as he did, the zinnia leaned over and whispered in his ear, saying, "Edward, Edward, take the frog plant back to its own garden, and it'll be safe there." Edward looked around, plucked the frog plant, and began to run. Oh, but he had hardly reached the edge of the lawn when he heard a voice behind him. "What have you got there? What have you got in your hands?" He turned around to see Ms. Barbara Pepper lumbering towards him. And then he looked down at that frog plant, and he saw with that little ball at the top, it looked almost like a dandelion. And he thought maybe it would act like a dandelion too, so he took a deep breath and for a minute the air was filled with hundreds and thousands of tiny little frogs, which landed all over the garden and planted themselves right there next to the zinnias. And then Edward turned around and said, "I haven't got anything in my hands, Ms. Barbara Pepper." And just then one of the neighbors came walking by and patted her on the back and said, "All right, Barbara, let's just leave the child alone and go get you a nice cup of tea." And, "Oh, no," she said, "you haven't seen the frog plant in my garden yet." Well, they all saw they weren't going to get any rest from her till they had a look. So they all went over, and she knelt down and parted her zinnias. And everyone went home that day thinking that perhaps it was time that Ms. Barbara Pepper be looked after a little more carefully. And beneath the ground, all the frogs settled in safe and warm and waited for next spring.
That was Emily Kiernan, and before her, Karen Marr. Karen will be performing at the Lititz Storytelling Festival September 13th and 14th, along with many other fine tellers in the delightful little town of Lititz, Pennsylvania. For more information, you can Google storypartners.net. Also, celebrating their 21st year, the annual New Jersey Storytelling Festival will be held on September 22nd, 12 noon to 6 p.m., on the grounds for sculpture, Hamilton, New Jersey. Rain or shine, with indoor and outdoor sites. Some of our guild tellers will be there. $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, $8 children under 5 free. It is time for you to get involved with storytelling. You can always visit lvstorytellers.org, and we will try and keep you up to date and informed on local events. Until then, have fun and keep a story in your heart.